Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey, thank you very much for sticking with us for hour two. It was great having Diana on the show again. Boy, time just seems to fly quicker and quicker on the show, Tim. I think it's time to bring it to a three-hour show.
It's the quickening, Dave.
The quickening?
Yep, the quickening. Quickening
by Art Bell?
No, actually, it's on the back of a Bisquick box. It tells you how to get pancake better done quicker and faster so you can get the family fed and get out of the house.
Well, we're going to have our next guest up in a few minutes, Deborah Collard, who has got a new book out called Haunted Southern Nights, and she is the founder of NAPS, which is Northern Alabama Paranormal Society. She's also one of the co-hosts of NAPS Radio, and we're going to talk to her. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention, I got to go out to Ghost Stock last week with Patrick Burns, and Patrick had me out as a speaker. We had a lot of exciting things happen. That was my first official talk at an event, so I was very nervous. Patrick was great, very gracious, helping me out there and helping us with it. They did something really neat. They actually streamed the whole event right from Ghost Stock, so people could go to ghosthounds.com and watch it and see what was going on. We are going to try that. Patrick's going to set it up.
Not only could you watch it, but there was a live chat with it because I actually watched
it.
I heckled you online. It was great.
Excellent.
It was the most fun I've had in years.
You jerk. Well, we've got we're going to be doing the Stanley event in November. We're going to try it as just a little trial. We're going to do not all of the talks, but we'll do like the opening night talk with all of the speakers. We'll do a couple of the panels. I think I'm willing to run my talk. I think your talk with Patrick for EVPs will be aired.
Oh, too much pressure, man.
Yeah, John Zaffis agreed to do his Possessed Possessions talk on there. Mm-hmm. So we've got different speakers. I believe J. Allen Danilek is going to allow us to stream his talk and Mark Macy his talk. So we've got some really great talks that are going to be going on, and it'll be streaming it live so people can actually check it out and get a little feel for what a darkness event is like, at least that part of it. We will not be doing the live ghost hunts because we don't want to be intrusive during that time. But while I was out there, I got to head up. Not only did I get to do a live talk, which my talk is about, it's kind of a good ground course for Ghost Hunting 101. It's a good opener and it's a good refresher for people that are veterans in the field. Because sometimes, as we know, when we're, into it for a long time, we get kind of jaded and we stop doing the things that made us successful at the beginning. This hopefully will rein you back in and help remind you some things and maybe give you some good ideas. I've taken ideas and tips from some of the leading people in the paranormal field, from some of my own observations. So put it together into an hour-long talk, and we'll be sharing that at the events going forward. So all the newbies don't have to worry about attending an event because they'll get to learn along with everybody else. Because remember, the first idea of our show is we really want to educate, enlighten, and entertain. And we're going to be doing that at the events as well. But while we were out there, I got to do a ghost hunt, and I was with this lovely couple, not a couple, but a mother and daughter team, and Rachel and Kat, and we were investigating a place called The Gift Bookstore, and the owners told us a fascinating story. There's an old woman that's seen in a blue dress she appears to come through the door and head towards the back, and many of her employees have followed back there. Well, we were back there checking things out, and nothing was really coming up. We were getting this really foul odor in the back room. And
did you excuse yourself afterwards?
Actually, it was very musty, almost like urine smell, which we thought was kind of strange, but it was coming on really strong while we were back there. And I had talked to the owner. We were talking about stuff, and we were running the recorders at the time doing EVP sessions. The first EVP I want to play for you, now bear in mind, this is Atlanta, or Savannah, Georgia, rather, inside of a bookstore, a gift store that's closed, and it's about, you know, 9 o'clock at night. All right. Now, this is weird to me. You know, we always try to get EVPs of people speaking and things communicating with us. And we get, during this talk, we get an EVP of seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? This is weird. Let's see.
Okay. We're in the book gift store. It's 8:09 and it is October 26th. My name is Dave Schrader. We're here to try to communicate with any ghosts or spirits that may be here in the shop that would like to come forward. A few moments ago, we smelled what smelled like a very strong urine smell or a tobacco smell out in the hallway. Are there any spirits here that would like to make themselves known? Any ghosts that would like to come forward and try to communicate with us? We ask that you please come forward.
Did you hear that?
We're not here to be disrespectful.
Really, yeah.
It's just so bizarre, but there's just all of a sudden there's just this chirping, like seagulls going on. Let's see if we can bring it back there real quick.
We're not here to be disrespectful.
Wait.
We're not here to like to come forward and try to communicate with us. We ask that you please come forward. We're not here to be disrespectful.
So we're gonna it could have changed. Now that could be something else that we pick up in our next EVP, which I'm gonna play for you. Now, as we're talking to this gentleman, he starts to relate that his dog has passed away, and that this room is the room the dog used to be in. Well, dogs, you know, they pee on things to mark their territory. So we got down on the floor. We were trying to smell the floor to see if it was a urine smell still stuck in the carpet. There was no smell. It smelled like Febreze. It was really nice and refreshing smells on the carpets and stuff.
So you stuck your nose down there for about 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, we were huffing the carpet trying to get that. It was just really a bizarre little deal. Now, mind you, too, we're inside a building with all the windows and doors shut. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nighttime. There's no seagulls zipping around Savannah, Georgia at this time of night, at least not to our recollection. And it sounds like they're in the store and part of the store with us. But as we were doing this part of it, you know, this part of the investigation, we start talking to the owner about the smell, and we realize that there's also kind of a pee smell coming from one of the chairs. And Kat, who was the mom, started to give him some advice on how to get rid of the smell, and she was kind of asking about how long the chair had been there. Now, mind you, I think there were three of us standing in the room at this time, myself, Kat, and the owner, as we're talking about this. Oh, the other interesting thing is Rachel, the daughter, had a K2 meter. She was holding it about waist level talking, and every time he would mention his dog's name, the K2 meter would go crazy.
Hmm.
So we were getting really strange, you know, interaction with this. And I was watching to make sure she wasn't flexing her thumb or moving it, and she wasn't. But every time he would call for that dog, it would just start spiking. Well, this is the next EVP we got. Let me pull this up. And I'll play it a couple times for you, too. This is crazy. And here we go.
It's just an every now and then kind of thing. I mean, I really didn't pay much. Again, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it until you said that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But this chair's been here probably 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not because...
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
No, that's just weird. I mean, there was no dog in the store with us. There was no dog anywhere around there. And it sounds like it's... right there,
just every now and then,
in between us talking.
I mean, I really didn't pay much. Again, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it until you said that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But this chair's been here probably 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not because she put it there after she put the armoire on here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go to Georgia, you know, home of all of the most fascinating, you know, spiritual activity, and claim to be one of the most haunted cities in America. And what do I get? I get Lassie howling at us. There. So, you know, it was really interesting that, you know, it was a ghost of this, of a dog that was in the shop still with him. So it was really nice that, you know, the owner got to hear his dog, and you could tell it was definitely having an effect on him to hear his dog whimper again. And I'll just play it one more time for the people in the chat room, for people that are just checking in. I'll play it one last time here.
It's just an every now and then kind of thing. I mean, I really didn't pay much. Again, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it until you said that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But this chair's been here probably 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not because she put it there.
I know Queen Ghost Geek in the chat room is saying it sounds like a stomach growl, which was my first thought, because people's stomachs will make noises when we're doing EVP sessions, but that's way too clear. And she was holding the recorder out you know, and plus I'm anal about calling out noises. I've gone over that in the sessions that we do on these events. If somebody so much as scratches their nose, I say scratching, you know, Tim scratched his nose, so that any little ambient sound is picked up. And we were all standing there. She was holding the recorder, kind of interviewing him and talking to him about this. So, I would have made a call had I heard it, and it would have been loud enough because you could hear. I mean, it's almost louder than the voices that are going on in the room.
It's pretty close. When you look at the VU meter here in the studio, I was topping out the voices at about right at about zero. And the dog howl went to about minus two, so they were pretty similar.
Pretty much, again, didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it till you said that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But this chair's been here probably 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not because...
So I think that's a pretty loud... noise to come through from a stomach, but yeah, it sounds I can't remember what kind of dog he said that he had. You know, I want to say it was like a golden retriever or something, but it
sounded like
Scooby
Doo.
Yeah. But that was kind of an interesting little deal for me, so I wanted to share those with you. I also wanted to thank Patrick Burns for having me out at Ghost Stock and letting me do a talk and share the time and see some of the most beautiful part of the country that I'd ever had a chance to see. It was really beautiful to be out there. Now we're going to go to our next guest here. I want to get back into talking with our guests for the evening. And our next guest is Deborah Collard. And Deborah she's been aggressively seeking answers like we do to the paranormal activity since she was a teenager. As I mentioned, she's the founder of the Northeastern Alabama Paranormal Society. It's based in Guntersville, Alabama. Deb likes to use both scientific methods as well as sensitive methods to attempt to determine the evidentiary proof of spiritual activity. She's got a brand new book out called Haunted Southern Nights. We do have a link for it on our site. You can go to darknessradio.com, click on the show tab. You'll see the cover of her book. If you click it, it'll take you right to the website where you can order this book. And I've had the opportunity to meet and become friends with Deb Collard. And as a matter of fact, she's going to try to help us put together an event. We'll find out about the location she wants us to go to, because it sounds funny, but she's going to get her to tell us a little bit of the history of it tonight as well. It's called Sloss Furnace, and we'll discuss that with Deb. But we're going to also discuss her book and her work in the paranormal. So welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Deb.
Hi there. How you doing, Dave?
We're
Hi,
doing
Tim.
Great.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Well, we want to thank you very much for being on the show with us. You know, you've been kind enough to have Tim and I on your show in the past. And again, for people that are interested, now tell them when your show is and how they can access it.
Okay. Our show, Haunted Southern Nights, it's Naps Live Radio, is on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
And then you can just click on there and you'll see Haunted Southern Nights, and you can listen in on the show every Tuesday night, you said?
Yes, every Tuesday night at 8.
All right. And, it's a fun show, so if you get a chance, and it's hosted by you and by Nathan, correct?
Nathan Levan, yes. We have a ball.
Good. And
We kind of let it rip.
Yeah.
We do. Hear Tim in the background, yeah.
Now, how long, you said that you've been doing this since you were a teenager. What got you inspired to get involved in the paranormal? Was there a certain point that kind of took off for you that really made you scratch your head and think, boy, I want to just keep learning more about this field?
Well, like most folks, you know, you have things happen to you as a kid, and it's like you kind of just like don't want to talk about it because you're afraid that your parents won't listen, somebody will say you're weird or whatever. But I started having experiences when I was about 7 years old. And initially, you know, there were things like I could smell my grandmother, or I could I woke up one morning and could miraculously roller skate after I'd had a very vivid dream. And then as I got older, more things started happening that were...
So you're a paranormal roller skater?
Absolutely, you paranormal roller skater.
You learned through a dream?
Actually, through a dream. It was hilarious. When I think about it now, back then, it was like, hey, listen, I can do this. A lot of times we have dreams, and that these dreams that we have, in these dreams, we actually learn how to do things. And I didn't think that was so, but yes, you actually can. This is a kid, me, who was as clumsy. I was all legs. Couldn't do it. I couldn't roller skate. And I'd had these roller skates in my closet for over a year and couldn't get up on them. I had a dream that I could roller skate. I got up, put on those roller skates, and I roller skated all over my mom and dad's hardwood floors.
Now, do you think, though, you know, that also sounds to me like a maybe reliving a past life experience. Could you have just reawakened and remembered? Kind of like, you know, they say, you know, it's like riding a bike. Once you've learned it, you can just pick it up and do it again. Do you think there's any chance that maybe your dream just reawoke something that you were able to do in a past life?
There's absolutely that possibility.
Okay.
I've heard of people who can just do a variety of things after they have had a very significant dream about them. But it goes further than that. As you know, as I got older and more things started happening, I got more curious. I became, I guess, a science nerd. And I'm an RN. I practice, you know, as an RN. And in medicine, you know, you see things when they die. There's just something that happens there that's very, very special. It turns on something with the family. It turns on something with them as they cross over. It's anybody that's a nurse that's experienced death firsthand that way, or even an individual who has experienced death with a family member at their bedside, there is a moment in time there when things are just, there's a total transition, and you can literally see it, you can feel it. So as years have progressed, I continued to get more interested and more intrigued, and became what I would call a closet ghost hunter. I would drag my husband, I would drag anybody I could get to go with me to a cemetery or any location that I had heard was haunted that I could get into, and started, you know, experimenting using, you know, cameras. I'll not, if I tell you the first kind of camera I used, I'll be telling my age, but we progressed from the accordion type, you know, where you pull it out in the front.
Is that the one from, like, the Flintstones where the parrot's in there chipping on the rock? Is that?
Hush your mouth, hush your mouth, hush your mouth. To the kind that, you know, that when you click it pops out and there's the picture, and within years, very short years, they fade away. So those you need to really save real quick. To digital cameras and then digital recorders and really got into it. And as far as what you were talking about, my soft science ways, I've always used dowsing rods. At a very young age, my dad taught me how to douse. He would douse for water and various things out in the country for people's, you know, farms to find wells. Well, he taught me how to do it. And he also taught me that there are other things that you can douse for. Well, there are. There actually are. And I use my dowsing rods as a communication tool, is what I use them for.
Now, when you're using dowsing rods, see, that's something I never understood, because I know they've used dowsing rods to find water, to find oil, to find dead bodies, to find, you know, lost treasure. Is it the intent? Is it? You know, kind of like your body's processing, you're tuning into what you want to collect. You become a human metal detector, to say, and then the dowsing rods kind of tune into what you're looking for. Do you think that's what's going on? I mean, how exactly? I've never really understood that.
Okay, let me see if I can explain it where that the Dave can understand it. All
right. Use small words and pictures if you can.
And speak slowly.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. The way that I believe that they work is that the energy, whether it be electromagnetic energy or what type of energy, works through us with the energy that we as humans put off, and we make a connection through the rod in some manner. I honestly use them for a communication tool the same as I would use a K2 meter. All right, do you understand how you use the K2 meter and how that energy works with you to give you a response? I believe that the spiritual entities can respond to me through those rods because they have some type of metal way to do it, to attract the energy.
But that's contacting a form of intelligence, right?
Right.
So you're contacting an energy in a form of intelligence. People have used dowsing rods to find water.
Oh yeah, they shake like a banshee.
Dead bodies. What? But there's no battery in there. There's
no
copper wire in the stick that they use. You know, how are they?
But you know, we have a heart and it beats. And how does our heart beat? I mean, we're like a walking battery, my friend.
Right, but I mean, there's still energy. There's no way. I mean, how does the stick know that I want to find water or a dead body? Or, you know, if I'm looking for, I guess what I'm looking, well, my question is, I've got my dowsing rods or my stick or whatever you're using, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to find water. Will it start going crazy over oil, even though I wasn't looking for oil? Will it go crazy over a dead body if I wasn't looking for the dead body? Or does it tune into what you're looking for?
I believe, myself personally, that it tunes into the water itself. It tunes into the element.
Right, but my point is, how does it know that the water is what you're looking for?
How does it know it's the water you're looking for?
And it's not, you know, I'm saying, oil could be right next to water.
Definitely, you're right.
So if you're searching for water, why isn't it dowsing the oil bed? How does the stick know that at this point you just want water and not oil? That's what I've always been curious about. Maybe you don't know the answer to these things with dowsing rods, but I was just curious if you had any insights on that.
Well, see, I've never doused for oil. I've doused for water, and I know the reaction that the rods actually give. They give an up and down motion. It's slightly different. You can actually douse for water with one rod versus two. With a as we communicate with spiritual entities, we use two rods because we communicate by asking questions, and if we, you know, we request that the rods cross for specific answers, that they straighten, that they be used as directional tools for us to, you know, to lead us to where, you know, their presence can be felt stronger. So, you know, what you're saying and what you're asking could be simply said that I guess we're the beacon.
Okay, so it's intent, basically, then, right?
Because
you're tuning yourself into whatever the element is or the ghost or whatever. You're tuning yourself into this is what you want to locate.
Right, and you're almost channeling your energy into finding that. The same way that someone would channel into you, you know, to seek answers to questions and to give, you know, put thoughts in your mind and things of that nature.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. So,
can you buy that one?
Why not? Sure. You know.
Okay. If, 58 cents. Sure.
I'll take it. Tim's signaling me. We got to take a quick break here. We're gonna take our first break for the second hour. We'll come back. We'll talk to you a little bit more. We'll talk to you about your book and cover that. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit supernaturalnews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Tim, I got to ask you real quickly here before we go back to... good grief.
It's coming off your laptop.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got that show Phenomena.
Right.
Have you watched that with Uri Geller and Chris Angel?
Uri Geller? Yes, I saw it this past week.
The and I would like to get Deb's thoughts on this too, being kind of sensitive, but there was, you know, the whole idea is it's kind of this reality show deal where you, you know, whoever can create the most impressive illusion or whatever the hell they're aiming for can win $1 million at the end of the deal, right? Well, there's that guy that claims that he has a spirit that helps him do these tricks. And, you know, he had Raven Simone. He had a truck put in a big vat, and nobody knew what the one item was that she chose. And he starts channeling the spirit, and he writes down rectangular metal, four wheels. And, you know, it was right. He nailed it. It was a little metal truck that came out of this bin. Out of, like, 100 items she could have chosen, he picked the one item that she would have chosen. And Chris Angel, in all of his pomposity, pulls out two envelopes and starts taunting the guy. He's like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $1 million of my own personal money if you or Uri can tell me.
Ooh, he pulled a Randy.
Yeah, if you could tell me what's in these envelopes. And they start going at it. These two almost start going into blows and fighting mm-hmm. each other. Did you see that?
Yep.
That was crazy. Personally, I think it's funny Chris Angel's calling anybody out. I think he's one of the biggest frauds on TV. Yes, I know people. He may be attractive, wow. but I think he's a fraud. Any magician that cuts away from the magic trick?
Well, no, I'll defend him here because I like his show. He does use the continuous cam shot on a lot of different shows, and he uses two different angles. Yeah. Now, they're not the angles that are going to help you see how he does the trick.
Oh, right. No, I know. But there was too many. In the first, you know, maybe they've changed it. Maybe you got enough heat from it. But in that first season, they kept cutting away. I just thought it was interesting. But, Deb, you know, being sensitive yourself to these kind of things, I mean, you know, there's so much skepticism in our field already dealing with the science of this. But, you know, you're incorporating sensitivity in your investigations. Do you find that you get more of the roll of the eye when you tell people that you're using sensitives on an investigation?
Actually, maybe 5 years ago, today, no.
Okay.
It's become more accepted. I strongly believe that if you have someone that's sensitive on board, they're very, very, very helpful in the investigation because they can pick up on things that someone who is not quite as sensitive, that they can't. And it's helpful because also you can get some validation and confirmation if you use your sensitive and, for example, they say, okay, I'm feeling something right here. I'm feeling a spirit and, this is what's going on. And you can have someone else come up to you with a K2 meter and you can start carrying on a conversation. You can have another team member do an EVP and they can actually pick up a voice.
Mm-hmm.
When you can do these things in cooperation and come up with, a conclusion that gives proper evidence, I think there's some beauty to that myself.
Well, and I agree, as long as you're using it in conjunction with science. But I was just curious if people, when you go to do a investigation and they know that you're bringing in sensitives, do they get more hesitant now to let you do an investigation in a private residence if you say that you're going to bring a psychic or a medium with you, or do you
absolutely
just kind of keep
not.
That quiet? Okay.
Absolutely not. In fact, most people, are excited about the fact because they honestly feel like they're going to have a way to communicate, and also it's going to be a trial. And on many occasions, we've had people test us. But we try to, when we go in on an investigation, we don't go into the fact that, other than we do state that we may use sensitive means. We don't say, like, who that person is, and we don't, go into a lot of detail. But when we go back with our evaluation of what we've come up with, we allow in our report an area where the sensitive will document the things that they found, and then cross, just allow the person that is the homeowner or business owner or whatever to confirm or deny what the sensitive had picked up on. And that makes it even more intriguing, especially when you hit all the targets.
Well, with investigations now, are you sensitive yourself?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and in what sense are you sensitive? Are you clairaudient,
voyant.
Voyant, okay, so you can see things, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, what do you see? Do you see them as they appeared when they were dead or when they were alive?
When they were alive. In fact, in my book, Haunted Southern Nights, I go into one of our cases, and this particular case I am at liberty to discuss somewhat. I won't exactly give their names, even though I have permission to. I prefer not to. But I was able to see the woman's mother within the home, down to everything that she was wearing, to the fact that she had on a wide wedding band and a slim, a tiny little wedding band on the same finger. I noticed that she had pierced ear holes, but there were no earrings there. I was able to describe what she was wearing to detail, and indeed, she did indeed have that particular outfit. The reason that she did not wear earrings in her pierced ears was because after a certain amount of years, she became allergic to any type of metal in her ears, and she did indeed wear a wide wedding band and a thin wedding band on her ring finger.
Hmm.
It was just great confirmation. But, I find this in a lot of our cases. And it's important because in this particular instance, this residential homeowner, they felt the presence of their parents because the home that they were living in was one that had belonged to their parents, and they had lived there for 25, 30 years, and they felt like they were still there. And there was a situation around them that was arising that was going to put them in a position to where they might be forced to sell their home to the city for the city to grow. And so they were very concerned. They were very concerned about what was going on. And there had been increased paranormal activity, increased feeling of the presence of the parents. They could smell them. There were things that were going on. Things were becoming, they were being misplaced that brought us in there initially. And to be able to do that and to be able to confirm that the presence was still there, just for them was very enlightening. It meant a lot to them. It meant a whole lot to them. And I believe, I seriously believe that we as sensitives and as paranormal investigators are becoming more acceptable in using both in conjunction. Just hard science is fine. It's wonderful. I mean, you go in there, you get, real evidence. But I find no harm whatsoever in using a sensitive or a psychic or a medium along an investigation. I think it's a great thing to have there.
Now, talk to us about your book. What are, you mentioned cases that you've worked on and things like that, correct?
Yes.
Talk to us about one of your most fascinating cases. What's something that just totally intrigued you the most about the paranormal in the investigations you've been called in on?
Oh, goodness. I would say it would have to be a case that we worked over in Jackson County where a murder had taken place. It seems like, my God, it seems like we're zeroed, radared in on going to areas where people have been murdered. But in this particular case, the citizen came forth who was actually the mayor of this community, and it was his and his wife's property. And it had been a year since this had happened, but yet they still could not go into the home. It was the property that they used for a rental property. It had belonged to the wife and the wife's family for, oh gosh, greater than 50 years. And we were asked to go in to pretty much see what was going on there because he had taken a telephone out of the property and taken it home with him. And when he did, the telephone, for some reason, had started, things started happening at their house when he brought the telephone home with him. Well, the first thing I told him to do was, of course, take the telephone back where he got it from. And we set up and we went in. We did a thorough investigation, and at the moment of the reveal, when we were pulling up the things that we had as far as evidence and also sharing the EVPs that we got there, I was sitting beside the lady, and then her husband was behind us with two of our other investigators on either side, so everybody could see the mm-hmm. computer screen. And when I brought this picture, I said, we found this and it's kind of odd, and, you know, would you please kind of look at it and see if it, if this person that's showing up here looks familiar. She yanked my laptop literally out of my lap. She just started rocking back and forth, and I thought, oh my God, what have we done? What have we done? And she said, that's my mother. Mm. And I said, okay. I said, well, who's the dog? And she said, that's Smokey. That was my mom's dog. And she's very emotional. Mm. Her husband at this point has tears running down his face. You know, she's saying, I'll go get a picture of her. I'll show her to you. You can see. You can see. And she called her daughter. Her daughter came over. The whole family was just, oh, my God. Well, needless to say, it put them back into that house, doing the work on it, you know, cleaning it up, doing the upgrades that needed to be done. But that was very profound that she was able to actually see something that indicated to her that her mom, of course, was still there, and that by all of the actions that had occurred in this house, that her, you know, that her spirit had not been desecrated by this behavior and the things that had gone on, that she was still there.
Wow.
So it needed to be, you know, it needed to be tended to and fixed back up. And that was, you know, to me, that was very profound. Now, I've had the crap scared out of me, but I have not run. you know, I've had things happen. And you were talking about Sloss Furnace.
That's a shame, because don't you think it would sound cute in the Southern accent, Tim, to hear, dude, run!
It would be, yeah.
It would be very cute. It's too bad you don't do that.
Well, I'm going to tell this one on Naps Robert. We were working a case this weekend, and it was at the fire chief's house. And you know how these guys have on all their radios, right? So
right.
When the alarms go off, do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, Robert and Patrick French, another one of our investigators, was in one of the bedrooms, and this is where the radio was at. And Robert said, is there anything that you would like to say to us today? And all of a sudden, the thing goes, rawr, like that. You talk about a grown man running. He walked very fast out of the room, but it did. It scared the blithers out of him, for sure.
Geez.
Yeah.
Well, what's the scariest thing that's ever... Well, you know what? Why don't we hold that? We'll come back. I want you to tell me the scariest thing that's ever happened to you on an investigation, or even just, you know... even if you weren't actually physically investigating, if it just kind of happened to you wherever you were, let us know about that. But we'll find out more about that. We're going to take our second break. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town with our guest, Deborah Collard. We'll be right back.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For all students, regardless of disability, education is a right, not a privilege. Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. Imagine a classroom with no books, or a classroom where all the textbooks are written in a code you can't understand. For millions of students who struggle with learning disabilities or a visual impairment, textbooks present barriers to educational success and independence. The National Nonprofit Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic brings the printed page to life for students. RFB&D offers the largest collection of recorded textbooks in the world, available to everyone with a disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. RFB&D, learning through listening.
RFB&D has locations around the country that are staffed with volunteer readers and service coordinators. Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic is online at rfbd.org or call 866-RFBD-585.
Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts, set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century. Irish Lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advance copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd and the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer Records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Our guest this evening is Deborah Collard, and she has a brand new book out called Haunted Southern Nights. She's also the host of Haunted Southern Nights Naps Radio, so you can check her out every Tuesday night by going to blogtalkradio.com, checking out her show. And she is the founder of Northeastern Alabama Paranormal Society. Is that right?
Stammer all over it,
Dave. Oh, good Lord. It's, you know, all these big words at night just stammer my head. But it's Northeastern Alabama Paranormal Society, correct?
Yeah, it's been that for a while.
Okay, good deal. Sarcasm. All right, so before we went to break, we were talking about the scary stories that have happened to your team. Now, tell me, what's the weirdest or scariest thing that you've ever had happen on an investigation or, you know, just when you were out and about?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the creepiest places that I've ever been to is where we were filming one of our pilot episodes for Haunted Southern Nights at Lost Furnace in Birmingham. We were there for just a day run, just going through some things, and we had some other OmegaCon officials there with us. And a gentleman by the name of Gary Babb had something happen to him that had happened previously to actually to Chip Coffee when he and Patty were filming Airplane there. He's down in the tunnels, and he got blood on him. You know, he got cleaned off. There was absolutely no cut. There was nothing, but yet the man had blood dripping all over his hand. I think that was probably one of the one of the freakiest things.
Wow.
That I've ever encountered, with someone, and it was so odd because the same thing, as I said, it happened to Chip and it happened to Gary, and Gary really just did not, he was not into the paranormal. I mean, this man is a sci-fi author. I mean, he was just not into it, and it was kind of freaky all the way around. Lost Furnace, though, is freaky altogether. You're talking, it's truly the industry that formed what Birmingham is today.
Right, well, explain this to us, because Lost Furnace just sounds like a euphemism for hell. Welcome to Lost Furnace. But
absolutely.
What exactly is it, and where is it located?
Okay, it's located in Birmingham, Alabama, of course.
Okay.
It was established in 1882. Even the buildings in New York City, the iron was put together there in Birmingham and shipped out all over. Many, many immigrants came in to work there. And when they came to work there, they came to work in hell, and they just didn't realize it.
Mm.
They were paid with tokens. In other words, not with money, but with tokens, and they had to buy their merchandise from the owner himself in his little general store. So they really didn't have an outside source to, you know, they didn't have the money to go outside and buy the things, go shopping or whatever. They were kind of trapped here. They lived in housing that was on location, and sometimes as many as 20 people would live in one house together. And there was very little time for sleep because they worked them so hard around the clock. And during a stretch of about 15 years, a fellow that we all call Flag, that was his nickname, Flag, was the third shift supervisor. And during this time, many, many, many deaths occurred. Many deaths occurred that were unexplainable. And eventually, old Flag, he accidentally fell down into one of the big vats. He sure did, and ended up nothing but a foot left. But that's just, you know, that's just a part of the story. But Sloss Furnace holds many, many secrets. There have been hundreds, literally hundreds, of reports made to the police about unusual activity there. During our investigation, we found things that just didn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, pipe moves on demand? I don't think so, but yeah, it did there. Radio communication, when you did not use the radio and people that are in the staging area or the safe zone hear me calling out on the radio, and I've got Patrick Burns, I've got Tom Wood, I've got Bruce and Stacy, and Larry, all of us were in the tunnel, and actually the radio, Bruce had the radio attached to the belt. She was using a K2 meter. I was using dowsing rods. At this same time, Patrick's having trouble with something's going off with his cell phone, and it shouldn't be. We've got like 15, 20 witnesses that hear me calling for them in this safe zone over the radio. It's coming out. I never used the radio. I never call for anybody. I was using the rods. And then when we go out and they come to see what's going on, after they've experienced this of me calling and thinking something's wrong down in the tunnels, we find that the battery in our radio is dead. So, we had these big, in the boiler room, there are just these big vats of oil that would feed all of this equipment. Well, all these vats are intact, and I mean, you know, more like a huge, huge museum of sorts, industrial museum of sorts. During the initial walkthrough, all these vats were intact. Everything was intact. Security went through. Everything was intact. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd have to look at my notes. We go through, and one of the vats, the lid's blown off of it. Now, this oil has sat here, okay, since 1971, and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. So why did it choose to blow the lid off while we were there? One of our investigators got hit, and actually we were able to see the object that they got hit with. It had no business being in the location that we were at. One of our investigators experienced a blow to the chest, a severe blow to the chest.
Oh,
jeez. Some of the most unusual phenomenon.
And this is all at Sloss Furnace?
This is Sloss Furnace.
And this is where you want me to bring my listeners?
Yes.
So they can get their ass kicked by the spiritual?
Well, heck yeah, maybe they can control it, let me tell you.
Wow.
It's quite the place to go. It has been...
Yeah, it sounds like Sandals. Beaches and resorts. Hey, if you're looking for the supernatural event of your lifetime, come on out, enjoy it with fine meals, fine dining, and get your ass kicked by a ghost.
You know, Sloss Furnace and the Chinese restaurant I go to have the same thing in common. They've both been using the same oil since 1971.
Yes,
yeah,
excellent.
So it's kind of neat.
So this these things were just blowing off. People were getting knocked down, hit, pulled, tugged. I mean, were you guys, what's the word I'm looking for, provoking?
No, we never provoke.
Okay.
We never provoke. It's. I think that there's something there that just, I think it just wanted to cut up and let us know that, you know, we were not alone, that we were not alone. And Ricky kept picking up on a girl, and she said, Ricky, of course, is my daughter, for those of you who don't know, but she's also a napper. She said, Mom, this girl is wearing a wedding dress. I said, okay, she's wearing a wedding dress. We're at Sloss Furnace. What is a girl with a wedding dress doing on at Sloss Furnace? She said, I don't know, but I am so, like, picking up on her, and she is just feeling really sad, really sad. Well, when we got through about 4:30, 5 o'clock that morning, and we're talking with the security guard, this is something that had never been broached. You know, we were talking about, you know, could he give us any stories of things that have happened, because we've already accumulated enough evidence for a 2 or 3 hour show. I said, does anything with a wedding dress ring a bell with you? And he said, well, they say it was back in the 1920s. A young lady, she climbed up into one of the big boilers, and she jumped in on her wedding night because the man that was going to marry her had walked out on her. And she jumped in her wedding dress, and so there you go. And Ricky had come up with a name, and the name matched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was kind of eerie. We all kind of freaked out at that point. We really freaked out. Huh. But you definitely do feel like someone is watching, that you're never alone. And the man who's worked security there for over 20 years, he's been there for over 20 years, he does not like to go anywhere on that entire complex by himself. And he makes sure that the lights are all turned off before it gets dark so he doesn't have to go back.
Wow.
Okay. So it's a really freaky place. And I know that people who have been there and have investigated have come out with some awesome stories and things that you just, you know, you can't deny. You've got evidence for it. I mean, you just can't freaking deny it.
Wow.
So we truly enjoyed Sloss Furnace. And, yes, we do want to work on an event there and getting Darkness Radio down to do that. And we're hoping we have a MegaCon.
I think I'll be sending Tim to that one. And I have this thing that I have to do that doesn't entail me getting beat up by ghosts. I'll be like Marlon Perkins from the old Animal Kingdom. Right here is Sloss Furnace, where the demons are kicking people's ass. I've sent Tim in to see if he can find out what's going on.
Well, I think that we can take care of Tim. You just stay your little happy honey up there in Minnesota, in cold-ass Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So now that's a definitely interesting place to go. Now, tell us a little bit more about your book now, too. We've got about three, four minutes left in the show. What, you know, now your book also covers how to do ghost hunting, right? You're giving some tips and
yes,
and
actually, it's it is a very easy to read Ghost Hunting: The Basics Plus. It covers everything from forming your own group, to how to investigate, what equipment to use, how to diagnose your evidence that you actually get, you know, and it goes through all of that. Everything, even to the reports that you need, the documents that you would need to have signed. So it's basic, but it includes some other things and plus some personal stories. But I tried to keep it as basic as I could because there are so many books that are so confusing. And this one is how did one review put it? You know, it's everything that you need to know about ghost hunting with a little touch of Southern eloquence.
Aww.
So how about that?
And the name of the book is Haunted Southern Nights, Ghost Hunting, Volume 1. It's The Basics. And people can get it if they go to darknessradio.com, click on the show tab. You'll see the cover of the book. Just click it. It'll take you directly to the site to order it. Or can they order it from your website as well?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Okay. And also, I think it will be available, I think it's next week is the last report I got on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BookSense, and Books A Million.
Okay. And the name of the book, again, is Haunted Southern Nights by Deborah Collard, C-O-L-L-A-R-D. And people can look that up. And if people want to get in touch with you, Deb, if they're out in Alabama and they're having problems with paranormal activity, how can they reach you?
Okay, you can simply go to my website, www.neal, it's N-E-A-L, para, P-A-R-A, society, S-O-C-I-E-T-Y.com. And there's a link there just to shoot me an email. Shoot me an email. I can be in touch with you in a heartbeat. Or you can call Dave. He has all my numbers.
Yeah, get in touch with me. I'll give you all the digits. Well, Deb, I want to appreciate you being on the show tonight. Thank you very much for sharing it. Good luck and continued success with your book. And we'll be trying to get an event handled out there in Sloss Furnace this year. So everybody keep checking the website at Darkness Events. And we're going to go down there. We're going to show these ghosts who's boss. How about that?
Hey, brother, you know that's what we need to do.
All right.
That's
well,
right.
We'll put that together. And
yeah.
Thank you all for tuning into the show. Remember, next week we've got a brand new show with author Craig Hines. And we're going to be talking about the Gateway to the Gods. And we want
I love
you to
that
check
Zeppelin
out.
Album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Discover the Real Secrets of the Stairway to Heaven is the subtitle on this. So it's Gateway of the Gods by Craig Hines. And then in 2 weeks, Donna Smith, the psychic counselor, Donna, will be with us. We'll be talking about EVPs and trying to get in touch with some famous people. And then November 25th, you can hear live in studio. We're going to have Scotty Roberts back doing live tarot readings. So keep tuned to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. And also check our site at darknessevents.com for updates on new and exciting events that you can be a part of. We'll look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for tuning in, and be safe.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teals Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.